It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The Universities of Wisconsin is marking a second straight year of enrollment growth. That's according to a preliminary fall headcount of the system's 13 universities.
And UW-Madison is reporting its second largest incoming freshman class. Despite this growth, the first-year class is less diverse than last year, with the percentage of underrepresented students of color dropping by nearly 4 percentage points.
Milwaukee Journal Sentinel higher education reporter Kelly Meyerhofer is digging into the latest enrollment data and the trends in the UW branch campuses and joins us now. Kelly, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thank you for the invitation.
So you report that more students are enrolling in Wisconsin's public universities compared to last year. Can you break that down? Which campuses are seeing enrollment bumps?
Yeah, it's no surprise that UW-Madison is growing. So that was probably the largest increase. Other campuses that we're seeing increases, UW-Whitewater, UW-Green Bay, UW-La Crosse, UW-Eau Claire, UW-Stevens Point.
When you take UW-Madison out of the mix, did enrollments around the state mostly hold steady compared to last fall?
Yeah, I don't have the exact numbers if we remove Madison, but in general, it's been much more challenging for the other institutions to keep enrollment steady. So these numbers are just sort of keeping the status quo, as opposed to growing immensely.
And what do you make of this number? UW-Madison reporting a record-setting number of applicants, nearly 66,000. What about that influx of applications?
Yeah, that's been a trend for the past couple years. I think, you know, ever since maybe around COVID, I think is when they joined the Common App or made it easier for lots of out-of-state students to apply. And so that's led to a lot of huge surge in applications. That's a trend that other flagship universities in other states are seeing as well.
Now, 5 UW universities report lower enrollment numbers compared to last year. UW-Milwaukee is one, Oshkosh, Parkside, Platteville, and Stout. Anything stand out to you there? Why are these universities facing lower enrollments?
Yeah, I don't know if it's anything particular to those universities, although Oshkosh did have a lot of bad headlines over the past year and a really challenging budget. They cut hundreds of jobs. I think for most of these universities, it's just, you know, a very challenging demographic situation. There are fewer high school students than there were in past years. And there's this trend of a lot of those students choosing not to go on to college, or they're going to a community college, or they're going to an apprenticeship. For a variety of reasons.
Okay, so the number of those first-time high school students coming into the college setting, that is falling, you see, in Wisconsin.
Yeah, and that's been a trend for a while, and it doesn't really show any sign of reversing itself over the next decade, which is very concerning to colleges whose bread and butter is, you know, traditional 18-year-old high school students who come in as freshmen and stay for 4 years.
Now let's look at the makeup of the class. You report that UW-Madison's incoming freshman class has fewer Black and Hispanic students compared to previous years. And then, of course, a year ago, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled against race-based college admissions. What do you notice there? Has the end of affirmative action affected UW-Madison's freshman class?
I mean, I think this preliminary data that UW-Madison released showed, you know, there was a drop in the underrepresented students of color. I think it's, you know, if you look nationally, some colleges, you know, their proportion of, you know, student diversity has remained the same despite this ruling. UW-Madison and others are, you know, seeing a decline. It is just 1 year of data, so I think it's a little premature to say, you know, what the effect of this ruling is going to be for the decades to come.
Right, because enrollment data for this first round of college students affected by the outlying of affirmative action is just starting to trickle out in recent weeks around the country. So you're saying it is probably too soon to draw conclusions about whether this ruling is causing shifts in campus diversity.
Yeah, I mean, the preliminary data at Madison certainly shows that it is, but I think there was, again, it's just 1 year of data. And we also, this was an admissions year where there was a lot of other things going on, such as, the revamp of the FAFSA form, which I think may have affected some students' decisions on whether to go to college.
We're going to talk about the FAFSA in just a moment, but I want to ask one more follow-up here with the class of 2028 being the first to be admitted after the fall of affirmative action in college admissions. Can you remind us what that means and what could be considered illegal for college admissions to do now?
Yeah, so before the ruling, UW-Madison and many institutions, considered race as one of many factors in this, what they call a holistic admissions process. That doesn't mean like if you check, that you are a certain race, you're automatically in. I mean, academic record was still, weighted most strongly, but it was something considered by admissions officials. Under this ruling now, that is not allowed. There are some opportunities. The way that the ruling was written, they can talk about their background and their upbringing, like in a college essay. And but how admissions officials are like accounting for that, is unclear to me. A lot of universities don't really want to talk about how they are proceeding in the wake of this ruling.
We are talking about enrollment numbers at the UW System Universities with Kelly Meyerhofer, who is higher education reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. Kelly, let's turn our attention to the branch campuses. Four branch campuses within the system have more students than in previous years. What do you make of this growth as these campuses have really struggled to stay open?
Yeah, I thought these numbers, that were released were actually pretty encouraging. We have seven branch campuses remaining that won't be. There's two additional ones that are closing at the end of this school year. So we have seven where closure plans have not been announced. And of those seven, four are reporting slight increases. So I think it's an encouraging sign. Maybe enrollment isn't increasing, but it would be at least stabilizing and not, continuing to plummet as it has been for much of the past decade.
And if you take a step back and look, are there any trends since 2018 when those branch campuses were reorganized under the four-year universities?
I mean, I think for the most part, a lot of the branches, they either have closed or are in the process of closing, and you just see their enrollment. I mean, it's like less than half of what it was in 2018 when the merger happened. It's just sort of like a hemorrhaging of students at these campuses, which is why officials have cited this declining enrollment as justification for closure.
Do you anticipate additional branch campus closures over the coming years?
It's an interesting question. I mean, UW System in their budget request said that they want, if they were to get, this $855 million increase, they would not close any more branch campuses as sort of a promise if they were to get this money, and they would invest in the campuses and keep them open. That to me indicates they want to keep them open, but it's, finances are obviously playing a role. When you have so few students, you need to subsidize it from somewhere else. But again, there are three campuses that are, getting pretty low on numbers. I think the lowest one is UW Stevens Point Marshfield. They have about 158 students right now.
Wow.
That's far less than some of the other campuses that have closed or announced plans to close.
And, we have these numbers now. The UW system, though, originally wasn't going to publish the branch campus enrollment data. What happened there? What changed?
Yeah, I don't. It's an interesting question. When they release these enrollment estimates taken on, tally taken on the first day of school, in the past they've always, broken down, each university by their campus, so you can get a sense of where the branch campuses stand. This year, President Rothman said during a news conference with reporters that they were not going to be releasing that information. Which is different than how they've operated in the past. His explanation for that was that it's hard to pinpoint where students are enrolled because they can take classes at multiple campuses. You know, and that's not really how, I mean, the data has always been very clearly you're enrolled at a specific campus. So I didn't totally understand the explanation. You know, I reported that they were making this change, and a few days later they did, you know, to their credit, release the campus level enrollment data.
I want to turn to the Wisconsin tuition promise. Next year, students from lower income families could be eligible to receive 4 years of free tuition and fees. The system announcing last month that this tuition promise will be offered next year. But UW System President Jay Rothman said on our show last month that it's because of critical funding from a private firm, Ascendian Education Group, that this program can continue.
If we don't get the tuition promise moving forward, we will not be in a financial position to offer it. And I think that would be a huge mistake because these are investments in the citizens of the state of Wisconsin.
Why is this program difficult for the UW system to sustain?
They have not gotten a lot of legislative support. It's been several different budget requests where they've requested money for the state to fund the program. And I think from the legislator's perspective, they look at UW-Madison, which has operated a similar sort of tuition promise program for several years based on their own money and fundraising. And they say campuses can figure this out on their own without taxpayer support. It's not the job of taxpayers to support specific students and help them graduate debt-free. You know, for other campuses beyond Madison, their fundraising is nowhere near the level of Madison. So it's sort of an apples to oranges comparison. And while Wisconsin doesn't support these sort of programs at the state level, other states like Minnesota are. Minnesota just launched a program this fall for any student, you know, below a certain income to go to any Minnesota public university or college.
Kelly, thank you for joining us for this update.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Kelly Meyerhofer is a higher education reporter at the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And for disclosure, WPR is a service of UW-Madison.
Up on Wisconsin Today, a Sheboygan gay bar closes. A local business owner and activist says it helped create a thriving community that will continue.
You have to build what you want to see in your community and support everything you appreciate with your dollar.
That's coming up next here on WPR News.